Middle Calf!
Hey, babe!
We are here for our mojo moment, John. Thursday afternoon, we got, as we're recording this, a couple of football games tonight, preseason. We just got back from Niners camp, some more sun. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you're watching it live, or you're watching it later, thank you. If you're listening to the podcast, thank you too.
As I forwarded you a picture that on Facebook that does memories of 8 years ago to the day, it's not a fact, but we think it's very possible. This is the first time we ever were on air together. I actually called in. I think you had a show once at Fresno State.
No, that was on ESPN Radio in Fresno, 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. You called in.
No big deal. No, I think I called even a different. You were at like Fresno State Radio.
Might be, but I do remember you calling in at 1430 ESPN as a caller.
Yeah, so I've been a caller, but you just invited me on. I think I got two segments, like 30 minutes worth of content. Like
hell yeah, you did. It was 10 o'clock at night. I should have stayed for four segments. Yeah, we're looking at this Facebook memory from you. You and I don't do a good job of marking history. We don't know how many podcast episodes we've done or when our first show was, and we wouldn't have known. Again, we think this is the first time we did the radio show together. August 12th, 2013, Facebook reminded you. So,
thanks, Zuckerberg.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's been a long time since we did a radio show where the intro to the show, as dictated by our boss, our program director, Jason Barrett, would say, high school friends, college roommates. You know, I think maybe there are a lot of people that are new to the show that don't know that we knew each other before we started doing a show together and go way back. But yeah, here's some more evidence of that. You wrote Little DHS 03 Reunion, Davis High School.
Davis High School, yep.
Going live in the studio, 95.7 The Game. Also alums of Jackson Park Place was the apartment complex in Fresno. So
yeah. Cheap price point, I remember.
Yeah, I think it was, what were we paying, like $375 each or something like that?
Yeah, it was cheap. I know that. It was cheap.
Bay Area Baller says, I was listening to you guys in 2010. That's not possible.
Yeah, not us together.
You might have been listening to me on Fresno Radio, but I'd be a little surprised. John, you were working in the NFL at that time, right?
I was. So unless you had Howie's office bug screaming, Middle Cough! I don't think you would have heard me.
Oh, it's great to have everybody. You know, it's a Tito's Thursday. That's what they say, getting ready for a Tito's Friday and a Tito's Saturday, John. Daniel on YouTube says Tito's fresh lemon juice, club soda, and a tall glass. Great way to wrap up a Thursday. This show is brought to you, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, our great friends at Tito's. I don't know if they officially sponsor the weekend. They just sponsor the show. And, you know, as far as we're concerned, they're going to sponsor Saturday night when we're on the tube when Trey Lance comes out of the game. Halftime of Niners Chiefs will be here.
Great call. We have to pour John Daly or Tito Soda. I had several Tito Soda. See, ever since we've got involved with Tito's guy, I just find myself been out to eat maybe more during the week, just kind of randomly, not on purpose necessarily. And I had, I think, four Tito sodas last night. Like I had a decent amount. Like I got it.
A Tito's Wednesday.
Tito's Wednesday. Telefarik, the Spanish restaurant in Walnut Creek, right below Rooftop. Fantastic tapas. Then went across the street to Vita Vea, an Italian place. Did it a little
Vita Vea from UW. First round pick of the Bucks.
Viva Vea. It's got a weird name. What did you used to call the thing? Louis C.K. The double dip. What was that thing
called? That's a bang bang when you eat
a bang
two
bang.
Big meals
so I did a bang
back.
Bang. Tito soda, multiple places. Love our friends at Tito's, American made, based in Austin. Tito Beverage, not just the founder, still the owner, and an absolute legend.
You know, somebody just said something to me. I can't find it now. Maybe it was on YouTube. Maybe it was somewhere else about Tito's. Somebody in the comments. I want to find this. So one of the reasons they love Tito's is because Tito's loves dogs, which is very true. Tito's is big in the rescue world, canine rescue shelters, and Tito's is for dog lovers, for dog people, I think is their program, to better the lives of pets and their families. I met a rescue pit bull on Wednesday night while I was picking up some ice cream at Safeway named Ellie. Sitting outside, and I love pit bulls, John. They're the best. So, Ellie just got rescued a couple months ago, her owner told me. So if you're dog people, by the way, go check out the this is not part of what Tito's asked us to do, but go check out the Tito's shop. You can get a dog collar, some bandanas, whatever for your pup.
Do you know, I think for make this partnership to even the next level, I think the Habermans need to rescue a pet.
It's been discussed, John. I there was a point in time where you were going to get a dog. What happened there?
Yeah, we're still thinking about it. Okay. Still thinking about it.
All right.
You got to be fair to the animal. You got to be fair to the animal.
Yeah.
So, you know. But I think about it sometimes.
Tito's Handmade Vodka, the America's original craft vodka. A lot of you have been DMing us or tagging us in photos of you drinking your Tito's, whatever night you're drinking it, and what you're mixing it with. Keep doing that. We love it.
Yeah.
Tito's, the company loves it. It helps us with Tito's. We love sharing with them how much you love it. So keep it rolling. 6 times distilled in copper pots. We have had a few people, even though it's the number one vodka in America, say to us, you know, I've never had Tito's before, which, again, pretty rare. Most of you have had it, and I love it, and of course you do. Distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume, namely 80 proof, crafted to be savored responsibly.
Well, and our theory, talking about it in practice, was like, and it makes sense, right? In food, you don't eat a sandwich every day, right? You go sandwich, salad, burrito, you just do. But I think sometimes the older you get with alcohol, you just kind of stay in your lane. And if you haven't been, you've been drinking whiskey or something else, you're a big listener of us, you go, damn, I'll try this Tito's. Then you realize, damn, this stuff is good. And maybe you just, Tito's has a new Tito's drinker. And then it multiplies and it grows and it grows while they're part of the show. So we can just help everything just grow even bigger. We love Tito's.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, how about what happened to us at Niner practice on Thursday?
Pretty incredible. My tweet was kind of a lie. I made it sound like he was backpedaling. The play was over and he was running back.
Yeah, well, don't talk about the tweet. Tell these people what happened.
Okay, so you and I are at practice. It's a 11-on-11 drill. Balls are getting thrown.
I'm charting.
Haberman's charting. We're 50 yards.
I got 18
away from the
air
line
yards.
Of scrimmage. Right? Sorry. What would you say? 50 yards away from the line of scrimmage?
Yeah.
Maybe 40. Yeah. A long way away. But Jimmy and Trey are throwing bombs. Referee flying down the sideline. Little back pedal. Play, whistle. Maybe an incompletion. I can't even remember. He starts walking. Brisk jog back. Looks at us. And then, you know, goes, big fan of the pod. We're like, whoa. And even Matt Barrels right next to us like, damn, guys. And yeah, that was really cool.
And he goes, you guys got a new alcohol sponsor? We're like, yeah, Tito's.
Yeah, so. He was fired up. And it made me think, you know, I'm hard on those guys.
This guy on YouTube says, GD, get to the show. Stop selling us. This is the show.
Yeah, this is the show, buddy.
We'll get to it. You know, this is something we're very proud of. So that was very cool. That guy's like the side judge. He was wearing the U on his back. For umpire, but he was practicing as a side judge. I think he was a college referee.
One thing I thought about driving home is you I would say lean a little more supportive of them. I do feel like you
because
have
I've met
more,
them over the years. I know
you have
it's a hard
more
job.
You have more relationships with them because when you meet them, you go, "Gosh darn, that's a person too." If that guy was my neighbor, he listens to our show. I bet we'd be friends. We'd have a lot in common, and I just crush those guys. Now we also have gambling sponsors, and they do. I was telling you a couple practices ago, I'm like, God, guy, these guys have a lot of power on just their calls.
Yeah.
On that yellow flag comes out. It's a big difference of a no call, a PI, a holding, a touchdown, an out of bounds. Like, it can't be argued. They do have a huge influence on the outcome.
I'm not here to argue it. I'm just here to say they're human beings. That's all.
They are.
All right. Well, one of the things, we got a lot to talk about today. One of the things is that there is a game on Saturday. And it's against the Chiefs. It's not just against, you know, with all due respect, Southern Utah. I mean, it's against the Chiefs, John. Now, it's not, you know, the full version of the Chiefs. But we got a game. And one thing, I was thinking about it again when you brought it up to me today, that there's a preseason game on Saturday night, which, again, we'll be on it as soon as that game hits halftime. We're going to start our podcast here on YouTube on Saturday night at halftime of the Niner-Chiefs game. Is what I said the other day, and I thought about it a little more. I think the players, are very excited to get into a stadium with some fans at home.
Listen, historically, Andy has been aggressive in preseason.
Yeah.
He's
old school in that way,
he's
right?
He's very old school. So, I mean, I would imagine the majority of his starters will get a series – So at least you see, you know, what I, well, for me, would be the best. Obviously, they're the best team in the AFC. But, you know, I know they got beat in the Super Bowl. Their offensive line is dramatically different. I mean, they easily could win the Super Bowl again this year. There just is some juice. I had a buddy on the Chiefs who just texted me like, God, I'm fired up for this game. Like, they're just excited. And I was like, yeah, me too. Like, I wish it was week one, but I mean, I'll take this. And also, I think what's cool and will help our show is I got to direct, I'll be fascinated to text some of the guys and be like, what'd you guys think, you know, about the quarterback? Like, it is, you, I'm going to get pretty good scouting reports on, you know, the majority of guys who are going to play are going to be, you know, the backups, but just, it's cool. Like, it's, I'm glad because they've done joint practices before with the Texans. Like, it could easily be the Texans, right? It could. You know, or it could be just some random shitty team. Like, the Chiefs, to me, get me a little more fired up to watch. I saw Branch or one of those guys ask Trey Lance yesterday, like, have you ever met Patrick Mahomes? And he's like, what do you mean? No. He's like, no. He's like, are you excited to see him? It's kind of a weird question. But it just, Patrick Mahomes is probably the second most famous guy right now in the league behind Brady. Or, you know, him or Rodgers. So it's, anytime he just walks into your stadium, it adds a little juice,
yep,
right?
Yeah, and better teams have, guess what? Better backups.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Andy, I just, while you were talking, I did a quick search. Andy Reid said, I'm going to basically do it the same way we've done it before. So I think the indication is that you might actually get a quarter of starters for the Kansas City Chiefs on Saturday.
Jesus.
I've not seen that explicitly said by him, but I think the expectation. Now, again, you may not get everybody starting, right? They may not play like everybody.
Kelsey might not play or something.
But there's a belief from some of these Chiefs reports that I'm reading right now that you're going to get a quarter, which we'll talk more about how much Trey Lance is going to play. That's fantastic news if you're the Niners, because that means Trey Lance, who will play with the twos, and again, we'll get to that, might actually get some starting level defenders on the other side of the ball, which would add some weight to whatever he does.
I'd even say, like, your backup defensive backs going up against some of these receivers that, even if you don't, like, Andy always has some new receivers. One thing you've known since he's been in Kansas City, they all run about 4-1-40s. So it is, like, Lenore's out there. Ambry Thomas is out there against some of those guys. But just, it's a good matchup. You're right. Andy historically plays guys. I remember when I first got to the Eagles, the year or 2 years before, do you remember there's a center, I think Hank Fraley. I think he actually coaches in the Pac-12 now. He was a center for the Eagles. He coached at San Jose State. Might be at Arizona.
Hank Fraley.
Familiar? And he had, Andy was so old school in like the mid-2000s, his starters would play the fourth preseason game, Pete Carroll style. And then I think he had shattered his leg and then they stopped doing that. But like it became the Sean McVay, which I'm pro Sean McVay doing this. I would do it this way. It is very out of the ordinary. All these coaches that were like part of staffs in the 80s and 90s, they would have been, it never would have been discussed, right? You just, Kittle or whoever you have just gets a minimum two series they play.
Right.
Like they don't just, if they're healthy, they play. That's become very, and maybe it's as simple as the economics. You lose a player who's making $15 million. You look at the pie chart of your team, you're like, what was I doing? Now, maybe it's all relative, right? It would have been the same in like 1996 if you lost a legit starter. Does feel like more guys got hurt in our adult life in the preseason than it did like growing up. But I wasn't super locked in.
Yeah. I mean, there is apparently some research out there that says the softer, quote unquote softer, sorry, but the less physical practices have gotten, the more injuries happen. You know, who knows? I do think it probably for a while was one of those things that it's just like playing in bowl games. It's just what you did. No one really thought much of it, right? You play in the preseason games. Of course you do. You got to get ready for the season. Probably makes it easier. The more everybody stops doing it, the easier it is for you to stop doing it. You don't want your backups out there getting their asses kicked by somebody else's starters because the other guys are playing their starters, right? So coaches communicate and go, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? There's some of that.
You know when there was 14 games, they used to have 6 preseason games? Can you imagine that? That'd be a lot.
When there was 14 regular season games, they played 6 preseason games?
Because Peter King wrote when they did the 17th game, the whole thing is just the even schedule, just 20 games, right? It's the 20 games. So they were at 14-6. Now they went to 16-4. Now what are they at? 17-3.
Yeah.
Eventually they'll be 18-2. It's just that they're staying at that 20 number. They just get closer and closer to the games.
Yeah, you don't give up the gate, right?
No. They're not going to ever go to like 18-0. No, it's just going to be 20.
Yeah. I'm listening to this book on Audible called The Club about like the rise of the Premier League. I'm not a huge soccer guy, but it's interesting. Business. And, you know, they brought a lot of Monday Night Football, and they studied the NFL, and they talked to the NFL when they started launching their own major TV network coverage, which guess who launched it was Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox, of course, and helped the NFL come of age in the TV era and started making a lot of money.
But newer book? Is the guy who wrote it recently? Or
you know, that I don't know. But it
sounds like an interesting read.
Yeah, it's an interesting listen.
Or listen.
And one of the things that happened was there was a point in time, and I might have my timeline off a little, but it was the late 80s. There were fights. It was the bathroom sucked. Going to soccer was not a family-friendly thing. There were deaths. A couple incidents where like a bunch of people died because, I don't know, the stadium caught on fire and people could get out. It was a mess.
The hooligans.
It was a mess. And the hooligans. And one of the things that they mandated was that you couldn't have any standing room only seats. So all these stadiums had to reduce capacity and they had to spend a lot of money. So like some of these teams went from 55,000 capacity to 35,000 capacity because the government mandated we're going to make these places safer. You're not just going to be packing as many people in as you can, only as many people as there are seats. And so they kind of, you know, they had to take a step back financially. You don't volunteer to do that, right? The league is not, if the government says you can only play 19 games, okay, then they'd have to figure something out. But the league is not going to volunteer to make its stadium smaller if they can sell the seats, and they're not going to volunteer to put less games on TV if they can win that number of games in a collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah, I mean, I think the television rating on this first half of the Niner game could be big.
That's what Nate just asked. Niners Chiefs going to get the biggest viewership of the week.
Well, I don't know. I don't think it's a national game, but I think locally, especially. One thing with him saying this, let's just dive into Trey's first half, that like people are going to be talking about that for the next 48 hours. So the buildup, right? It's good that if that just happened Saturday afternoon, I'm not saying people wouldn't pay attention, but the moment it gets out and people start talking and text change, like he's going to play the whole half. Like I think people are kind of building their day the next couple days now. Like you're actively thinking, I need to be around my TV at 5:30.
Yeah, it's kind of 30 snaps is what Kyle Shanahan said he's going to get. And if he doesn't get quite around that number, he might even start the third quarter. Kind of crazy. It's not an NFL Network. The NFL Network game at night is Los Angeles, Los Angeles, which I understand. But 30 snaps, so Garoppolo's going to get the first series. Trey's going to play only with the twos. Only with the twos. But he is going to get a half of football. So we're going to get a lot to watch from him.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot.
Is that going to be 16, 17 throws, potentially?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of runs. It's just going to be a lot of fucking plays. Like, that's going to feel like a lot. Series in, series out. And listen, once Mahomes comes out, Henny could be going three and out. Like, you could just get the ball back relatively fast.
Yeah.
Unless Andy's dialing up plays. Hopefully Andy's a little off, right? And they're just not hitting. Like, I want Trey to have the ball. It's a great evaluation. Like, after this game... And Kyle alluded to this when we were just driving back from practice. Like, listen, in a couple years, there's not going to be a soul that probably remembers this game, right? Yeah. But come Sunday and Monday, it's the only thing people are going to be talking about.
Right.
And I think the one thing Kyle is good at, he could just fake it, right? And most coaches might not even talk like that, but he's just being honest. Like, come Sunday, when fucking our podcast will do its biggest number since the draft... It'll be one of the biggest topics in the sport, how he looked. Like, and everyone's going to have an opinion. Good, bad, what he looked like, the good plays. Did you see that one throw? What a throw. Or, God, there's a lot to work on. Or, Jesus, he doesn't know how to slide. Like, there's going to be a take right now that we have no clue that's coming because we don't really have we don't even know. I mean, you and I have been at some of these practices, but as we'll get, I'm sure, later on the show, practice has not much in common with the game. I mean, there just really isn't. You know?
No.
I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah.
So it's like, whenever he does these 360s in the pocket and rolls out and hits, it looks awesome when me and you were standing there and the refs flying by us. In the real game, he might trip as four guys hit him in the legs. I don't know.
And Tavon Wilson's like, that's not a completion. Even though we caught it, I would have killed him in the ribs, right?
Yeah.
That window doesn't stay open as long as it does in practice because I'm going to hit the guy or make a play on the ball. The one thing, I'll disagree with Kyle a little bit, although I think he's generally right. You forget what happens in this game. I mean, no one's forgotten what Jalen Hurd did in the preseason. We've been talking about it for 2.5 years, right?
But he hasn't played.
Right. But what comes next is part of what, if Trey Lance performs in a way that makes people who haven't been able to see him in practice talk about him the way those of us that have seen him in practice, right? All of a sudden, mooch all Sunday long on NFL Network and Baldy. And like, if that's where the conversation goes and they're playing his highlights constantly and they're great plays, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, then that is something that you will reference back and go, that was the moment when things changed a little bit. But part of that's also dependent on what Garoppolo looks like, and we're not going to get to see him much.
I would say the only way it becomes like a moment in time, if he were to go out and throw 3 or 4 touchdowns, you would just talk forever, however his career went, especially if it went well. Like, remember the first time he ever fucking played a game for the 49ers in the preseason? It would be part of his legend or whatever. If it goes shitty, though, it'll be definitely a huge talking point on Sunday, Monday. But, like, with time, that stuff gets forgotten. Like, no one still talks about, remember the Denver preseason game for Jimmy? No, because they went on to go to the Super Bowl. You know, it's not even a talking point. It can go shitty, and that would be, you know, good for content. But it doesn't get remembered if then things start going well for him or he just has some better moments. To me, it only gets remembered if it's, like, historically great. And you're right. Just like, oh, my God. Because then the momentum of the starting kind of comes from the crowd. Like I've said, the thing about preseason is it's the first time with quarterbacks. We'll get into Fields a little bit later. Is, like, the fans, who are the majority of human beings, right? The people that when these games do the 30 share on Saturday, that means all these people that have not watched anything in practice besides what you can find on the internet, it is their first time to glimpse it. And they kind of help create a conversation, even though they're not making the conversation, because it's just clear what everyone's talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's their first time to see him.
Right.
And they make the league go around.
It's true. Now, there are some other things besides how does he look, right? Mike McDaniel mentioned Wednesday that Trey Lance has never taken a play call in his helmet with fans in the stands, right? Now, it's not Seattle on the road, week one, or New Orleans, but that's a new experience for him. We saw on Tuesday he mismanaged a red zone situation. How does he handle the play clocks running down? The headset cuts off. We got to get to the line of scrimmage, snap the ball, and, yeah, make a decision. How does he handle running with younger players around him, leading them? That's one benefit of playing with the twos and not all the starters, is that he does have to kind of maybe to a greater degree tell these guys what to do, as opposed to Kittle and Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk all knowing exactly what to do. There's a little more leadership required, right, when he's running with the twos. Does he protect himself? They're going to run him. What does he do when he's made 8 yards? Does he slide? Does he go down? Does he get blasted? What happens if he gets blasted?
Does he try to truck someone?
Because
it's not out of the realm of possibility he can get into a situation, non-linebacker, defensive lineman, where he looks at the DB and goes, I'm much fucking bigger than this guy. And we've talked about he has some Cam's bigger, but just his running style is kind of Cam-ish. Cam realized early. Now, it caught up to him, right, the last couple years, but, and I don't blame him. Wait, this little safety is going to try to tackle me? Like, I'm not. I don't even
remember Derek Carr's moment.
I'm going right over him.
Remember Derek Carr's moment? It wasn't even getting blasted.
Was that with Pac-Man?
He tried to stiff arm Pac-Man in the helmet.
Yeah, what happened? Oh, he dislocated a finger.
Yeah, he got slammed to the ground.
Yeah, that was a bloodbath that game. Yeah, it's gonna be just we're gonna. I'm fascinated to watch. Like, I have a pretty good idea, but like. His deep ball, to me right now, we were talking about at practice, can be a little hit or miss. For a guy with a strong arm, sometimes it flutters in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, and Kyle mentioned this, listen, he does not slide or anything at practice. And it's smart because it wouldn't be a full speed slide. We talk about what we would do in that situation, but shit, I don't know. It's easy. It's one thing when we're both sitting up and we have sunflower seeds in our mouth and just bullshitting at 7 o'clock at night in the meeting room. Like, what happens when the Chiefs linebacker's right there? Is he sliding? Is he firing out of bounds? Whatever. Just you have to be safe. Like, it was Michael Vick did not know how to slide. RG3 could not slide. Like, some guys, once you're in the heat of the moment, you can only do, you just dive forward. The problem with diving forward, they can still hit you. Maybe, I think the NFL's changed that rule a little bit. Like, you can't kind of headhunt when he's diving.
Well, you're in a tough spot, right? Because you still could end up, it puts the defender in a bad spot. But, yeah, you're a little more exposed.
Yeah.
Because you're not giving yourself up in the same way. That was the other thing Kyle Shanahan said today. He's like, you know, practice. I just try to tell these guys it's like practice, except they can hit you. Well,
what about this though?
That's just your pocket clock now, right? The play doesn't continue after you've been sacked, touched.
If he's not starting, which you know doesn't really feel like he will, but there's a lot of times left. He's going to play in the Lions game, right? And early on in the season.
Are you saying he'll get a package? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Are you going to bust out all these runs in the game? Like, you need to practice them. Do you even care? It's like, it is what it is. Like,
well,
run these plays.
Are you saying because you want to make sure you can get, like, 3-4 games in, Jimmy's still healthy before you start exposing Trey Lance? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying, like, you don't want other teams to see your plays going into the regular season.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, his run plays are nothing like Jimmy's. So there is never a play that you and I have seen at practice when he's running the ball that they've ever run since Kyle Shanahan has been with the 49ers. And now they've added those plays. Do you need to practice them in a game and just say, screw it, he's one of our better players?
Wouldn't you argue we're playing 11-on-11 if my quarterback is actually a run-pass threat? There's not a whole lot you can do defense. Like, there's not some secret. It's just he's going to read and he'll make a decision.
Yeah,
so show the plays and just make teams get ready for it. Because that's the other thing, right?
They're pretty prevalent in the NFL now. You would just go to North Dakota State, and I think you'd watch some of those plays and go, this is probably what they're going to do. And it's like, yeah, it's basically what the Niners
do. Give them something else to prepare for, John.
Yeah. But they already are. That's what I'm saying. So they're already preparing, but they don't know what's coming. You run that play, it kind of does show that you're going to do some of the zone read, RPO type stuff.
I would do it.
Does some RPO. Yeah, I think they're going to.
I would do it in practice and say, "Here's we're going to try and get our guy better because we think if we execute this play, it's 6 yards and you're not stopping it."
Against the Chiefs, you would do
it. I would run. You're not going to do everything, but I would do some of that with Trey Lance. I want Trey Lance to get ready to play. And again, I think if those are plays that if your guy's skilled enough to run them, you can't stop them.
Would you run the up the gut quarterback run
that
plays?
One I would not.
I wouldn't.
He already knows how to run that. I would not run that play.
I would only do you're outside the tackle box where worst case scenario you can hit the ground and be safe. I would not do up the gut stuff. Nothing guard to guard. We ain't, you know, a lot of riffraff in there. A lot of people falling on people. That's going to be a play they're definitely going to run. I just don't know if I'm running that in the preseason. We got a lot of what did Mike McCarthy call them? Harry High School, Johnny Tryhards. You just got a lot of people. Even your seconds, like the
trying to make their mojo moments.
Game, yeah, they're just trying to show the team they should be starters, right? Or, like, I'm better than the third-string guy who's nipping at my heels. It's a scary time, I think, sometimes when some of the randoms start getting in there. It's one thing when your true backups are there. You're like, okay, this guy, especially on defense, backups play a lot, right? Rotational linebackers,
right.
All the defense, like a backup defensive line, he might go, I make $3 million and I play on average 28 snaps a game, right? So it's like he's a normal player, but there are going to just be some, like the safety doesn't quite know what he's doing. Maybe some practice squad guys who have never been in a game. The offensive lineman, to me, and this back to the quarterbacks where it gets a little scary. Those guys just, you know, back. Sometimes there's a distinct drop-off between a backup and a starter.
Well, in this case, I would say there is.
Well, think about center. Like, I don't even know.
Trent Williams, Alex Mack?
Yeah.
There's going to be a drop-off.
Big time.
Right? Even,
I mean, McGlinchey's played a lot. I mean, he's...
Yes, there's a drop. There's a drop. Starting, John, I mean, it's not all of them, but I'd be interested if I hadn't really thought about this, after quarterback... where we would say the biggest drop-off happens from starter to backup usually, right? Most teams in the league there aren't 32 really good starters.
There are a lot of teams with, like, good backup pass rushers, right?
What position has the biggest drop-off after
tackle?
Tackle.
Because you could, we've seen it. Every team has like Kendrick Bourne who can have like 9 catch games, right? Like your backup wide receiver.
Yeah, it's not receiver.
It's definitely not. It's not running back.
Corner.
I guess if you have a star middle linebacker, but yeah, corner. It'd be tackle or corner. But your corner.
How about
more
center?
More corners are in the same realm. There's only a couple corners. Like there is I'd say about 20 starting tackles are just pretty, obviously Trent and some of these guys are the high end guys, but like most teams feel pretty good about their left and right tackle. A lot of teams do not feel good about their backup tackle. They're like, oh my God, if this guy has to play, we're screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. If you did the Sando tiers list on corners, it'd be like 4 tier one guys, everyone else.
How many star corners can you even name?
Yeah.
I think there's less now than ever, but there are still a lot of big-time offensive linemen in the league. God makes those people. I think a lot of guys at corner have been it's just way sexier now than ever to play wide receiver, even though there's a lot of money to be made if you're a legit corner. Like, they make like $18 million. Xavier Howard just got a raise.
There's more snaps.
He was already making 15.
Just like there's more receivers, there's got to be more corners now because everyone's throwing the ball more. You're doing your 7-on-7 camps. There's just a lot of snaps.
There's a lot of money to be made at corner. I play a lot of snaps. These guys.
You could argue there's less competition. Like, yeah, you should play corner. Maybe you can stand out more because everyone's playing receiver.
Yeah.
And everyone's looking for a corner because there's such depth at receiver. To go back to Trey for a second, I think one of the things Kyle Shanahan said was that you wouldn't mind seeing a little adversity to see how he handles. It'll be interesting, right, if the offensive line isn't giving him a lot of time. Obviously, we're all watching it. We get playing with the ones and the twos is different. But how does he handle that? Because as much as it can be a detriment to how you play, it's also an opportunity. If you elevate those guys around you, if you elevate the twos, if you're leading scoring drives with the twos, now that's something we say, oh, look, you did that with the twos, you get extra. It's a little bit of extra credit. So it's an opportunity.
Well, as Mike McDaniel, I've never heard a coach say that. Like, we look forward to coaching him up on the good, and hopefully there's some bad, too. Like, and he's right. I think a lot of coaches think like that. They just don't say that because you're not trying to put, like, bad vibes into the air. But then Kyle kind of got asked about it. But he's right. Like, I think sometimes it can happen in the preseason, and this I learned early on from Lewis Riddick, that, like, production, back when there were 4 preseason games, by the 4th preseason game, there'd be a dude with, like, 3 touchdowns and 400 yards. They'd be like, well, what's the context? He'd be like, well, he had a lot of big runs in the 4th quarter of these games. Or a quarterback with a really high completion percentage. And I heard someone say, maybe it was NFL radio the last couple weeks, and they were remembering the first time. Oh, it was Mike Lombardi saying that he saw Kurt Warner on preseason tape. And you remember, like, asking one of his scouts, like, who the hell is this guy? And he was just saying the talent. Because sometimes in preseason, if I just see a box score of, like, a backup quarterback, you're like, God, he went 10 of 12. Kyle's like, well, it could be a lot of dump-offs, right? So it's like, Trey, we could manipulate his numbers, and especially in this offense, right? Some of the nakeds and the news and the dumb. But I want to see him just 5-step drop, fucking some, you know, intermediate to deep breaking routes. Like, how does he fucking throw it? Right? How accurate is he? And that you have to kind of, the good thing, if you're the offensive coordinator, you can set it up to see what he can do in certain situations. Because in this offense, you could give him, I think Jordan loves a guy that's going to play a lot. I saw Rodgers isn't playing. You could make it so it's relatively easy in this offense. Just do a lot of runs and then do nakeds and nudes, right? Which is part of the offense, but like,
it's not the reality of the world, which is guaranteed adversity.
Because in that offense, like even when McVay, Kyle, and LaFleur with Rodgers have been on, that's usually how their drives start, right? Just run, naked, run, nude, you know, just a bunch of, and you can just gash and you're like, what a first 15 from McVay, right? And then by the second quarter, all that bullshit's kind of gone. You're just like, well, it's 3rd and 8, you know, let's see what you got.
Yep.
All these guys, though, their first 15 looks relatively similar. Especially if the runs are hitting a little bit. It's like, oh, play action's coming. And then it's like, Kittle wide open. You know, there's Higbee. And then all of Twitter's like, LaFleur, what a first 15 from LaFleur. Well, yeah, because when this offense works, it's fucking unstoppable. But, and that's where Rodgers has, like, once he embraced it, you then have to, like, become a player. You know, it's just not everything just as easy after your first couple drives.
Right. Eventually, you're the player. You have to make the plays. You have to overcome bad play calls. You have to make decisions.
Would you agree, though, in this offense, when it's just scripted perfectly, that first drive's like, oh, damn.
Well, when it starts with a 17-yard run, That's how you know it's going to be a good day for the offense. So, you know, we talked about kind of what we're going to talk. Let's go to what we're going to watch for on Saturday, John, and then we can – is that cool? And then we'll dive to some of the other things that are related to this. Outside of Trey Lance, other things to watch for. I know what I would say if we were going to – if I started, but I started with this thing on a topic we did a couple days ago. So let's just rattle some things here. What are we watching for outside of the quarterbacks on Saturday?
Well, I had mentioned the running game, you know, with the quarterback, but a huge part of the quarterback running game in this offense, if it is Cam Newton-y, are the running backs, like just kind of that connection between the two of them, right? If they're doing zone reads, Trey Lance, Trey Sermon, Trey Lance, Elijah Mitchell, Trey Lance, and Wayne Gallman, some of these guys that, you know, I don't know, some of them are going to make the team. The Niners are going to cut some running backs that have played in the NFL, right? Trey Sermon's a lock. Mostert's a lock. Feels like all those other spots are kind of up for grabs. So these running backs, it'll be interesting to see who's playing where. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Mostert just does not play. Like, if you told me he's just in street clothes, I'd say that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So then I would assume, if that's the case, wouldn't you Trey Sermon is the starting running back?
Yep.
And then, like, what's the next rotation? I think the next rotation gives us a little gauge, like, okay, who's at where? But as Kyle mentioned today as we were driving home, because they're like, does your rotation necessarily mean, like, who's going to make your team right now? And he's like, well, it kind of builds up. You base it off other positions. You can't just put the puzzle together just because this guy came in the second running back means he's a lock to make the team. But it does give you kind of, like, where he is at currently, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know who that is. Like, is it Elijah Mitchell? Is it Wayne Gallman? Is it Hasty, the kid from
Hasty
Baylor?
Made a nice play today.
He made some runs yesterday.
The other part of it is not just the rotation, but Trey Sermon specifically. You and I have talked about him a lot. We all have. I mean, he's a high-profile player. He was highly drafted for a running back. Is he going to be an impact player? Period. Right? And all these guys, part of their deal is yards after contact. That's part of playing for Kyle Shanahan. So, finally, we get some real opposition contact. I think a guy I mentioned on the last podcast, he's not under the radar anymore, at least around the Niners, maybe around the league a little bit. But at receiver, Sherfield, who Trent Sherfield seems to – I think Trey likes him. Maybe they're just together a lot, but Lance trusts him, just judging off of some of the throws he's made to him. Now, some of these drills are set up. You're throwing the ball – anyway, to a guy, but I think they have a connection. And Sherfield obviously is a guy that's got very good NFL special teams experience. He's a guy that a lot of people have been talking about. But now it's like, okay, does he stand out in one of these games too? At the end of the day, he wasn't playing a ton receiver for the Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals have a lot of receivers that they prioritize because they've drafted them. But I'd say that's one thing you're looking for is, like, this guy has looked good in these practices. Is it going to translate to a preseason game?
How about the fighting John Grudens? Arden Key? Mo Hurst. They added Eddie Vanderdoes from Sacramento, UCLA Bruin.
Mm-hmm.
Shalique Calhoun, who I just think is more of a body. But they clearly, like, the Niners valued all these guys that at one point, but especially Key and Hurst, like, they think those guys are scheme fits. At one point in time, the Raiders thought that too. They just did not work at all and randomly got cut in the middle of the year. You know, are these guys locks to make the team? Kind of feels that way with Arden Key. I don't know as much about Mo Hurst, but who knows? Like, those guys could have a big impact. Yeah. Fighting John Grudens.
I like that. How about Aaron Banks, the right guard they drafted? Big guy. It doesn't feel at this point like he's going to be their starting right guard. It feels like it's going to be Daniel Brunskill. But just, you know, this is a guy you invested in. Part of the, you know, you're just constantly trying to make sure that you're young in some spots because you're going to need to be spending money in other spots. So young and good. So him being good is important to them, right? If you've got a guard here that's your guard for the next 7-8 years, like, that takes that draft you just had to another level. So they need that.
What about getting a little fantasy scattering report across the field? Clyde, see how he's looking? I read a fantasy article yesterday.
Edwards-Helaire
talked about big comeback players this year. I don't want to say he underwhelmed, but he was a sexy pick to be like a top 10 guy last year because people thought he could have a bunch of catches and didn't quite go as planned. I think he got banged up a little bit too. But he's a lot of people talked about he could be like a legit fantasy star.
Yeah.
Now, we play daily fantasy, but
That's right, we do. Somebody asked, this is actually a good time to bring this in. Where did this comment go? Does anyone know if Hurd is making his debut? No, Jalen Hurd is not making his debut. He did have a couple of nice catches on Thursday. As we watch back-to-back, like 15, 20-yard catches.
Jalen Hurd's not playing this weekend?
I don't believe... No, I don't think he's playing this weekend. Pretty sure that's what Kyle Shanahan said on Thursday.
Gotcha.
Or Wednesday, whatever. Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
I had Hurd for back-to-back 15 and 20-yard catches, John, but we're on the other side of the field. Air yards, big on air yards on Thursday, which was good to see because I actually, before it happened, I turned to you and said, has Jalen Hurd made a catch at any practice we've been at in 11 on 11? So there's that.
Yeah. Ha-ha.
Ha-ha. Yeah, I don't think he just got here, right? So he's not playing. Oh, I know who you want to see. You didn't mention him.
Who? Robbie?
Talanoa Hufanga. Like, what does he look like at NFL game speed?
He would have... There were a couple of plays today he would have killed some people.
Yeah.
But you're just not allowed to. Because they're your teammates, so you pull up and you tap them on their ass, they run by, and you just kind of go back and you give some high fives and you get back in the huddle. There has to be... It'd be fascinating to do like a legit sit down with some of these guys. Like, we talk a lot about like flipping the switch. It is a pretty big switch to flip when you practice for weeks on end, where you just really pull up and you hit them on the butt, hit them on the ass, maybe a little thud, and then the feeling when you just go like there. Once the game goes right, there is no, you just we're not. There's no two hand touch, right? There's no thud. There is. We're playing to kill.
Yeah.
Well, not to kill anymore. We're playing to tackle physically hard on the ground. You know, head below the shoulders and up because we don't want penalties. Can't lead with the crown, right?
It's all about pad level, John. It's all about pad level. Ankle flexion and pad level.
You and I remember had an argument years ago about the college thing, about them kicking them out. The one thing I would imagine, the penalty is much harsher in college. That those guys are pretty accustomed to it. It just, if you are going to become a pro, my issue has always been sometimes late in the season, like a senior who might not be an NFL player.
It happened to Clemson in the semifinal.
Yeah, I get very bothered by that.
I understand.
Especially because I think at this point in time, it's just not malicious anymore, really, most part.
You know, my attitude has always been you're doing this for the sport and you're going to have some victims along the way, unfortunately.
But I think these guys now are pretty accustomed. Like a guy like Hufanga, his entire time in college, right, was those rules. So you just – it does. Once it starts coming up the pipeline, maybe you'll just see guys have less and less. Now, there's still a human element, right? If you are going so fast, the guy's going so fast. There's just collisions that I think a lot of us, when social media goes like, that was over the line. Like, it's easy to say sitting on your fucking couch eating peanuts.
Right.
You know?
Right. And remember, one thing they changed was it used to be they couldn't overturn it on replay.
Yeah. I give them credit on that.
Yeah.
Now they can. But it's still a penalty, right, in college. The penalty doesn't get picked up. You just don't get tossed.
I do think they can overturn the penalty now. Yeah. Now, if there's also a personal foul attached to it, sometimes the personal foul can stand, but that's two different things.
Progress. I'm just looking for progress.
You know, I expect just the circumstances of most NFL seasons, particularly the Niners seasons, have been a lot of corners have to play. Ambry Thomas and Diamador Lenore. Does one of those guys become a guy that you feel like you can rely on as the season goes along? The likelihood that you'll need one of them, I think, is high. Right? You're already down Tart. You've been without Mosley for a period of time. Obviously, in his history, Jason Verrett, best shape of his life. But Kaywan Williams has been. You just need depth at this position where there's not a ton. So, I mean, there's one, and there's one major thing to watch for. Hopefully, one of those guys pops for you. Maybe both, but feels. I don't know if you heard either one of them talk. It does feel like they're still trying to figure some things out. So we'll see what that looks like on Sunday or Saturday.
That's all I got.
That's all you got on what to watch for.
Yeah.
That's a lot to watch for, John. Since you mentioned DraftKings, it's one of our favorite things to do over the course of the season. Let's tell the people this podcast is brought to you in part by our friends at DraftKings, promo code HAM. Right now, download the app or go to the .com. I like to get everything out in front of me on the .com. And I like to feel like Axe, you know, just messing with all my numbers on my computer screen. Promo code HAM at DraftKings, John. Big things happening.
Yep. Football's almost here, and DraftKings is obviously ready to go. The official partner of the National Football League. It's giving you a shot to turn big plays into even bigger prizes. Introducing the new Instant Win Challenge from DraftKings Wild Cards. Download the DraftKings app and obviously use the promo code HAM. First wild card for free. That's up to $50 million worth of prizes. $50 million. Mm. It's easy. Download the app. Claim your first wild card, which will reveal either weekly player challenges or instant win prizes like tickets to the Super Bowl, SoFi Stadium.
Oh, that's a nice little trip. Download the app right now. Use the code HAM to play DraftKings Wild Cards. Remember, that's promo code HAM when you sign up. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Podcast also brought to you by our friends at Deck.com/HAM. Where right now you get free shipping on one of Deck's sick decked drawer systems for your truck.
Yep. Deck.com/HAM. Here's the thing. It makes organizing, accessing, protecting, and securing everything you need in the back of your truck much easier. Each of Deck's two full-length drawers can carry up to 200 pounds of whatever you got. And Deck has a true 2,000-pound payload capacity load floor. You got 2,000 pounds? You got a four-wheeler? Put it on top of that bad boy. Deck drawer system keeps your gear secure. It's out of sight, out of mind. No one can see it. If your tailgate is locked, you can't open the drawers. And you can't remove the system. So it's safe, guy. Safety's key. Drawer locks are available for added security and peace of mind.
Yeah, that's right. And weatherproof. Plus, you can also modify, as many people do, in tailgating season. You throw some ice in the drawers. You throw some beverages in the drawers. You throw your grill on the top of your TV, and you are rolling. Right now, Deck.com/HAM. The Deck drawer system, 100% made in the USA, backed with a 3-year no-hassle warranty. But as they told us, they've never turned anybody down for a warranty. Second to none customer service. We talked to the folks at Deck, and they were all up front and all about it. Here's what you do. You go to Deck.com/HAM to get free shipping. That's Deck.com/HAM to get free shipping on your decked drawer system. Deck.com/HAM.
Do it.
All right. Saturday night, it's not just Trey Lance, John. Actually, Thursday night, we got a Mac Jones, but that's not what this is about. I know this. If I'm in charge of NFL media, Twitter, Instagram page, if I'm House of Highlights NFL person, there are two games I am locked in on, and I'm clipping off every single thing that these two guys do. We talked about one, Trey Lance. Can you guess who the other one is?
I'm going to go the Chicago Bears and Justin Fields, who, while Kyle kind of gave a number, it's a little finite, I'll be shocked unless it's a really unique circumstance he comes out in the second half. Matt Nagy today said there's a decent chance he plays into the fourth quarter. So I think you could see a combined like 60 snaps, maybe 70 if he gets 40, between these two guys. And I think of the rookie quarterbacks, you know, Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence are starters. So there's no controversy there. I know Urban Meyer said it, but Trevor Lawrence is going to fucking start. Zach Wilson is the starter. Mac Jones, let's face it, no one's that excited to watch him play except the Jones family and maybe some Alabama fans.
I'm excited.
I'm not. I'm excited to watch
number 50. Is he still wearing 50 on Thursday night?
I don't think he's legally allowed to. He had to change his number. I think people think whether that happens or not, like these two deserve to be the starters week one. There is no way on God's green earth I could make Andy Dalton the starter over Justin Fields. And I do think for both guys, they have a chance to just make some two or three incredible highlights that just own the internet and own football fans. And like I said with Trey, listen, the fans have no pull. Beside, the league would not exist without them. They provide every penny for the league. The reason the league is thriving is because of TV deals, is because of the people. But, like, there becomes a pressure in markets like with the Niners and the Bears, two of the league's biggest brands. I clicked on Forbes today. I think the Niners were fifth, and they were, like, seventh. Now, you and I always say it's really a fake number because if the Niners or Bears were like, they're for sale, what the fuck would those two franchises go for? Hint, a lot.
Especially the Niners, because their stadium is new and sweet.
Very true. So, what do you think the Bears would go for? $4 billion?
Name a number. Just who's bidding? How many are available?
So,
one?
This guy, like their fan base, I just think that it could, for both coaches, could get pretty intense come Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Right? If these guys just kind of take off like rockets.
Yeah, and I'd say
I think they both have polarizing moments that their talent is just, physical talent is immense.
I think in some ways even more pressure for the Bears, just given that they're just under more pressure to like literally save jobs, that kind of thing, right?
Dalton has no equity with anyone.
Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace have every reason to play this guy as soon as possible because they want to keep their jobs and get contract extensions. Let me show you, for those of you that can see this, some tweets from Thursday's Bears practice. Here's one. Adam Hoagie. Well, there's no doubt the best QB on the field today was Justin Fields. Here's another one from Jeff Dickerson. Justin Fields was on fire during deep red zone period versus the Dolphins. Had three touchdown passes and a nifty out of pocket scramble. Dan Widerer, Justin Fields absolutely masterful in a 6-play low red zone period. Three TD passes and an astute tuck and run touchdown.
Well, I would say one thing these two guys share. Someone DM'd me the other day. They're like, is it weird that I haven't seen one completion of Trevor Lawrence all training camp on my social media? I'm like, yeah, I haven't either. Yeah, it's a little bizarre. Maybe, but it's also like, I'm sorry, the Jags is kind of irrelevant. These two guys.
Did Urban tell them not to tweet stuff? I don't know.
Yeah, potentially. I'm not saying that social media means that much, but they have had a shitload of momentum for rookie quarterbacks that aren't starting, right? Like that little stretch. 6 days ago, I could have inputted Trey Lance, right? Or 5 or 4 days, whatever, right? They both have stretches like this where everyone that's allowed into practice, the writers and reporters, are maybe, you and I have seen sometimes with Trey Lance, sometimes the tweets are probably a little over-dramatized.
Yeah.
But I think part of it is because you know the reaction. Like, I don't think Justin Fields didn't make a sweet play, right? He clearly is doing some incredible stuff. You know why? Because both these guys are elite physical talents. Elite. Fields probably better than Trey Lance. When you think about it, right? He's faster. He's
bigger
shorter,
arm.
But I think he's got a bigger arm.
Yeah, I do too.
But he's definitely, I mean, when you have a quarterback guy that runs a 4.40, like, you know how fast that is? Like, Trey is not going to bust a 50-yard run, more than likely. Justin Fields could. Like, what if he takes one to the crib for, like, 50 yards as a runner? Like, RG3.
Yeah, he's more likely to run away from everybody else on the field than Trey Lance is. Right.
How do you keep... If he does stuff like that, you're right. Like, there's just a different level... The franchise are in different spots. I think it'd probably be more feasible for Fields to just take over the job than it probably would for Trey Lance, because Kyle just might not want to. I just mean that's simple.
Yeah.
We're Nagy, you just get to the point, like, what are we doing? Don't they open up against the Rams?
I also wonder to what degree Nagy will consider the fact that when they signed Andy Dalton, they told him he's the starting quarterback. Are they going to care about that when this decision needs to be made?
Do they want to let Andy get week 2 against the Bengals? A little homecoming? Yeah. It's actually in Chicago, so it's not totally
a nice game to have Justin Fields playing.
But you let him play against the Rams, could get his ass kicked Sunday Night Football.
Well, then the decision's made for you.
Yeah. Bengals.
Marcellus says, John had said that he wasn't sure of Trey Lance's running speed after watching him in practice. Do you guys have any worries? I don't want to answer for you, but I think we think the same thing we thought after watching his tape. He's fast enough to make big plays, but he's not running away from anybody. What have you thought?
Yeah, I was told
by... We shouldn't
say
he's not running away from anybody. He might get caught in some situations.
Yeah, I think the Niners thought he was a 4.55 guy based on the information and data they had, you know, before they picked him. And I think, yeah, it's honestly 4.58, 4.6. 4.6 is fast. I think when you say 4.6, you're like, God, it's kind of slow. You know, what feels at 4.40 or 4.42 or whatever the hell he ran at his own little pro day, that is incredible. If you have a quarterback that runs a 4.58, historically in the league, that is hauling ass, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Brady runs a 5.4, and he's the greatest quarterback ever. Now, he's not a runner, but when you do run a 4.6, how many guys on defense can't catch you, right?
Yeah, there
like
will
Roquan's be... Roquan's catching you, or
yeah.
Whoever.
Yeah. He's going to have big plays. I still believe that with his legs, but some of these are going to end after 26 yards with him just kind of veering out of bounds with a couple people bearing down on him.
Yeah, when I think of Trey as a runner, I think more like Deshaun Watson or young Russell. Right, he's gonna have like 20-yard runs. I just
not Kaepernick. That's the one, right? Kaepernick straight line. Just,
you agree that's not taking place?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying he's not going to have rushing touchdowns, but it's not going to be dusting everybody. And we saw that when we watched his college tape.
What if Fields is dusting people?
Yeah, I mean, he's more likely to do it. Niner by Nature 88 on YouTube says Trey has more arm talent. Yeah, I mean, if by no, arm... What are we talking about here? Arm strength or arm talent? I do think Trey's better in terms of touch throws and intermediate throws and you know, some of that. But in terms of arm strength, this is where all these different labels... What does some of this stuff mean? I think that's what that person's referring to. But in if they both knelt at the 50, who would throw it further? I think it'd be Fields. But whatever. I mean, it's these are we're talking about the reason Brady is because is great is because the Pro Bowl skills contest is not the NFL game, right?
Yeah,
you're
four. You get guys out throwing like Greg Maddux,
exactly, right?
But I'd say Fields does have a like more Scherzer. You're right. He's not as
more of a Well, I don't want to say he's more of a closer. Maybe a two pitch pitcher. We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Players got to develop. All right. Well, we've been watching Hard Knocks. And the Dak Prescott situation. Forget about just Hard Knocks. How about the one of the more bizarre team tweets I've seen came Wednesday. We've all seen. The official Cowboys account, it's not a setback. And it's not a reason to worry. But Dak Prescott's getting another MRI. I don't remember who did it. It was funny. They were like, oh, is this just a recreational MRI? Maybe it was Jeff Schwartz or somebody. As in, like, just an MRI for fun. You can go from having a star quarterback to not having anybody real quick. So when you see that, is that a reason, if Trey Lance beats Jimmy Garoppolo out, long way to go, to keep Jimmy Garoppolo around no matter the price?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll get as we get closer and we have more clarity on the situation. If Trey were to beat him out, you know, the financial stuff. I think that situation really brings into light who gives a flying fuck about $25 million backup. It just doesn't matter.
I mean, Jed York.
Yeah, but as he has so much, you're really
Leeds is paying for Jimmy Garoppolo this year.
Yeah, I just think you can start pinching pennies when you don't necessarily have to, because you see with Dak how fast a position of strength, and whether he's overpaid or not, it's kind of sad that we don't really know because he hasn't got to play. But like, he is good. Right, he is a top 10 probably starting quarterback. The Cowboys without him are. You told me you had to skip some of the practice stuff. I mean, I started playing on my phone.
Yeah,
it's not even watch DiNucci. If
it's
Ben
like
DiNucci
when the
starting,
the music starts, it's just like, all right, I'll.
It's just they're done.
Fast forward. Like,
if I had to give you an over under of 5.5, Dak didn't play a game this year for the Cowboys. Would they hit the over? 17 games.
How many games does Dak play? Or if
zero.
How many games do they win if he doesn't play? Yeah, under. They'll suck.
So they would suck. And with them, I think they could compete to, you know, win 8-9 games, win the division, right?
They'd be
I mean, maybe their coach just stinks. But that just shows you the Niners, it's not going to be like this next year. Jimmy Garoppolo will not be on the team. And they're going to have Trey Lance, and more than likely, they're just going to have some random backup, right? A Nick Mullins type. Maybe I guess they could go old like they did with Mahomes, Chad Henne. That was Veach's whole deal. We
Chase
wanted
Daniel.
A guy that was married. It might be worth it to get like an Andy Dalton type. So maybe your backup would be not as shitty as like Sudfeld and Rosen. But like, he's not going to be
Foles.
Jimmy. Yeah, it could be. But I mean,
Foles
just someone like that.
Kyle.
So that's they're in a situation where you better enjoy it, because I think the Dallas just shows, and every team knows this, like when you're stark, what was Bill Polian's whole thing? Like, yeah, Peyton goes down, we're done. Like, someone's like, what if he gets hurt? Well, he's like, it doesn't matter. Or, season's over. What do you mean? What if he goes down? Like, he's the team.
Yeah.
And it's the Brady's like that. Like, if Brady were to go down in Tampa, they would be better than the Cowboys, right? They would still, their defense would be elite. If Trask or one of those guys had to play Gabbert, maybe they could compete to go 500 or even, but it would be hard. Like every game is like they could lose.
I also think if you'd had three straight playoff years in a row, then you can, okay, if something happens and we're just, you know, dead in the water or whatever, we just bite the bullet and get ready for next year. But that's not been the case with the Niners, and the Niners have had two seasons basically wiped out by quarterback injuries, right?
Yeah.
So for them, it's like, well, let's protect against what's been happening to us, which has happened to us last year, happening again. Now, as you said, if Jimmy Garoppolo, if we're through through preseason games, or even after one preseason game, he's like, Trey's just not ready yet, then this isn't even a discussion, because as Kyle Shanahan said, he's pretty sure Trey Lance is making the team. But if Trey Lance looks better and it really does pick up some could Trey Lance be your week one starter conversation, then this is more of a decision. What do you do with Garoppolo? Are you willing to pay him $25 million? Are you going to try and pay him $14 million to be your backup? What are you going to do? Is there a number that makes it not worth it to you? And what we're saying is, just look at Dak. There's not a number. Even if Jimmy refuses to take $15 million, and you know if we cut him, he's not going to be back on this team because someone else will give him $13 million, whatever. As far-fetched as that might feel, is there a number if we said it's all or nothing? You're either paying him $25 million to be your backup, or he's not on your team and you're not getting a first rounder for him. What do you do? This is the area you bite the bullet and you keep him.
Yeah. I think it also shows that, you know, in these situations, once your quarterback goes on to make huge cash, like part of the reason they don't have $3 million or $5 million to pay Andy Dalton, right? Now, he got 10 from the Bears, but you know what I mean? Like, they gave Dak 40.
Right.
So once you're eventually, like, you made this trade to have this quarterback become a 10-year guy that one day hopefully makes a lot of money, you get in these situations where there is no backup plan. Like, even part of the reason the Raiders were able to have Marriott, Derek doesn't make that much money. I mean, relative to us normal humans, he does. But NFL standards, like if Derek, his next contract goes to $38, $40 million, your backup then becomes a Ben DiNucci. Like, part of the thing is, like, historically with Seattle, we never know who their backup is. It was that kid from TCU for a while. Now it's Geno Smith. Well, Geno Smith was so bad, they got him for so cheap. Rodgers, until they got Love, Rodgers' backups, like, for 5 years were a joke. It was like second and third rounders. It was like Deshaun Kaiser or whatever. It just didn't matter. So you get sometimes in a unique situation where you just got them both. And the Chiefs, because someone hit me up on a DM or an email that was like, do you think that Andy ever regrets not just going with Mahomes from day one? Maybe they have two Super Bowls now and another Super Bowl berth and just had like this incredible 4 or 5 year run. I'm like, I think that's sometimes easy to say looking back, but I would imagine, especially where he was coming from, he needed a lot of molding. But by the end of that season, remember when he played that game for Denver, who knows how good maybe they were by the end, but yeah, it might have been tough early on. And Alex was good, so it's like they didn't necessarily take a step back as a team, but their high end was going to be limited as long as they were with Alex. But they did have a good, looking back, like that season, they had a good backup plan, right? They had those two guys. But you only get those two guys like in Trey's situation for these couple years. Because even next year, they could spend $8 million on Mariota. I'm just using him arbitrarily. You could pick anyone. But it doesn't, like, once you get to Josh Allen's situation, like, Mitch Trubisky's probably the most expensive backup they'll ever have, right? He's making, like, and he doesn't even make that much, like, 2.5. You just don't have any money. And you get into a situation like the Cowboys pay DiNucci $800,000. That's really the only backup they can afford. Now, they're not their finances as a team are always usually out of whack. You know, Jerry's not, you know, sometimes I think gets a little overzealous with some of his contracts, but the Niners are pretty lucky. Like, for a situation last year we saw, it couldn't have been any shittier. I would say going into a season, like, you feel pretty good about it. Even if Trey were to beat him out and then Trey were to get hurt, like, Jimmy Garoppolo is your backup? Like, would Jimmy Garoppolo immediately be the best backup in the league? It'd have to be.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't even be close.
Yeah. I think this is why the situation like in Minnesota is so probably frustrating for them, because they've gotten expensive, right? And Jake Browning, I think, is their backup. They got Kellen Mond on the roster. But Kirk Cousins' cap number is
got to be huge.
31. Next year, it's 45, I think. Kirk Cousins next year is $45 million cap in 2022.
What's his dead cap?
$45 million.
So he ain't going anywhere.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch. So, you know, that's where it's like it's critical for them that Kellen Mond is what they would love for Kellen Mond. That's why they wanted Fields. Now, here's the irony is they couldn't have done anything. If Fields beats him out, they would have been $45 million on the hook next year for Kirk Cousins.
So it's also why Zimmer's in his ass like, bro, you got to get this fucking shot. Like, I mean, we cannot. We are paying you so much money. What are we doing here?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's Zimmer is not happy about
because
that.
It's not just about.
There could be a 50-50 chance Kirk Cousins just misses a game. Zimmer, if that
John, happens, I bet it's better because here's the deal. It's not just about getting COVID.
It's contact tracing stuff. Though.
It's what did we say? If you take this many tests over the course of how many months, the odds of you getting false positived, you getting Brandon. I remember Brandon Ayuk false positive.
He gets tested every day as a non-vaccinated player.
So you get a false positive on a Saturday. Nobody Monday. Hey, I didn't actually have it. Well, cool. We can't go back in time. Brandon Ayuk false positive last year. Davis Mills, it happened to him at Stanford. Odds of you getting a false, like Nick Rolovich, the coach of Washington State, are very high if you're going to get tested this much. The math just is not in your favor on the margin of error.
I think there's a 50-50 chance of Zimmer fighting Cousins this year. Because if that happens, can you imagine, like, he just misses the Lions game and they lose? You know, Zimmer's trying to – this job's on the line. He might kill Kirk Cousins, literally, figuratively. Like,
is that what dead cap means?
Yes, Kirk Cousins is dead.
It's like, oh,
can you imagine the story of Cousins showing up with a black eye? Here's the thing. The media would support Zimmer if that happened. I'll promise you that.
Well, I
wouldn't blame him.
Not every coach that got, not every player agrees, but it's a business decision because you know you'd get enough of these tests. It's just that there is a margin of error on these things, and I'm not going to hear your excuse if it's a false positive. He's not going to hear it. It doesn't matter if I hear it. But that's just the reality.
He said he was going to plexiglass his area in the quarterback meeting room.
Look, again, it's not about getting it for some of these guys.
No, it's not.
That's why they're so adamant about it, because we saw last year that mistakes are made. It's guaranteed.
Well, it's simply a competitive disadvantage right now. That's just 100% end of story. I saw in my Instagram timeline, Rod Woodson was just like, this is just about wins and loss. Like, your teammates are dependent on you. And at this point in time, like, if all your teammates had it, it wouldn't be cool. If you cost us, I do think there has a chance to be one of those forfeited games, even though we were talking before practice with a buddy that works for the Niners. Like, I don't know, the NFL is just going to cancel games.
As punishment, the only people getting punished are the people who make the money, which is the NFL.
Yeah, and the TV network. So it's more, that's probably not going to happen. So never mind.
Your punishment will be you got to play Wednesday at 10 a.m. That'll be the punishment.
Yeah. But they claim they wouldn't do that for an unvaccinated breakout problem. We'll see. What's CBS like? Guys, we got an inventory.
Well, the league's going to be like, wait, who are we punishing here? Because we're the ones that we got the TV, we got the tickets. Who's really getting punished? So, in any event. All right. But that'll be a big story. If, like, this is part of the future, this is a window into the future. If Trey Lance looks, if this conversation continues to the, will Kyle Shanahan really consider making him the starting quarterback? Then this is going to be a huge conversation. What do you do with Garoppolo? And by the way, that's another part of it. It's just given that there's another factor here that is just involved in how a quarterback could miss a game, right? Even though it's unlikely, but that's another way you could miss a game.
I got to figure out my schedule on Saturday. The Fields game's at 10 a.m. We had talked about this, but I just, out of sight, out of mind, I forgot. So we got 10 a.m. and 5:30.
Yeah.
Like, I got to figure out, like, I go to the gym early. I got to figure that one out. I want to watch that bad boy.
I'm going to, for the videos and the YouTubes, let's take a look at some of the schedule here, John.
Oh, the places ground beef from Butcher Box can take you. Ground beef is absolutely the go-to item in my freezer. Why? Because at a moment's notice, you're making bolognese, you're making enchiladas, you're making chili, you're making meatloaf, you're making hamburger patties, and we are entering hamburger patty season. I've been telling you about ButcherBox for years. High-quality cuts of meat, amazing value. Find high-quality seafood as well that you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping. Always. Today, ButcherBox is giving you, the listener, free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Just use my link, butcherbox.com/ham, and use the code HAM to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/ham, code HAM. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app, because it's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action. While you watch your favorite players in sports, you just pick more or less on two or more player stats, and then the fun is on. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball to hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. It's really simple to play. You make your picks, submit an entry in less than 60 seconds. I'll do it at halftime of a basketball game. And I also have some season-long more or less picks on MLB homers. You may remember, I've got less on Ohtani homers this year. We'll see. And at halftime of your next NBA blowout game, just jump on and go, Steph Curry more than 11 points in the second half. It'll change the game for you. Download the Prize Picks app and use the code HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's HAM50 for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. They say you're not supposed to give out multiple URLs in one ad, but for a great cause, you do it. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know? One man every hour, every day, is diagnosed with testicular cancer. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer among men age 15 to 35. I did not know that. April is National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, and Manscaped is donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. You can visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And of course, use the code HAM for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. With this in mind, you can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying the Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. If you don't like making a mess, it's great because this thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, shave in the ocean, shave in the hotel. Code HAM at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone, go to your iPad, download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert, get outside, enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know what? The better way to do this is actually...
That works.
Could you see that? Can you read that?
Yeah, very okay. Well.
All right. Can I get some music? Dun, 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 dun. We're recording this after Thursday, so we got Washington football team, New England, Pittsburgh, Philly. Let me just say this about football team before we get on to some of these preseason games, which is I actually believe, I was thinking about this today, it hit me, the Washington football team should stay with football team as its team name. Most team names are so contrived that you see listed for them. They're not, no one's buying them. as like original. Most of these great team names we love, just like a good nickname, comes from a weird place. And football team comes from a weird place. It's very soccer. Soccer's, you know, biggest in the world. You could call them the footballers if you wanted, Washington footballers. Then you could say things like, we just got to play footballers football this week. But I think they should stick with some version of football team as their real team name. I think it's kind of a it's dumb how they arrived here, or at least it's not like a proud history that led you to this. But whatever, this is your name now. I would stick with it or some version of it over going and calling yourselves the Belters or the Wizards.
Yeah, Warrior. Yeah, I think they're I'm with you. I like
stick
FT,
with football team.
Just football team.
Footballers. Yeah, Washington footballers.
I think it'll gain some traction.
I thought they would have changed it by now. They haven't. And yeah, maybe you'll just kind of, it's like a nickname. You don't like it first, and then it just sticks.
I'm with you. I couldn't agree more.
All right, John. Friday the 13th, we got three games. Titans at Falcons. Bills at Lions. Cowboys at Cardinals. Anything of interest to you there?
Yeah, I saw Dan Campbell said, I will not wipe their butt. They have to wipe their own butts. Mm. So he's just got to start teaching some life lessons. And I do think Dan Campbell's going to get a lot of just love this year and just some of his highlight quotes.
He's got to win games.
Yeah, Arizona, Dallas. I just think Dak right now is easily one of the biggest stories in the league. Because honestly, I hate to say this. I'm not trying to bring up – I felt bad watching my Hard Knocks.
If you're with me.
You said this. He's likable.
Oh.
No, I'm rooting for him. Everyone, same. He just seems like a good guy. Honestly, the more and more, like, does it kind of feel Tommy John-ish? It just, something's maybe really
not
wrong.
Great when you're on the phone with the Yankees and Rangers medical staffs.
Well, you know why? Because football players, what do they have? Their shoulders get sore. They rarely, remember how weird it was when Roethlisberger had to get Tommy John? That just doesn't happen to football players. And this Dak thing, that's weird, bro.
Such
weird's going on.
Such a likable guy. All right, so there's your Friday. There's your Friday games. On to Saturday. Miami at Chicago. You mentioned that. Tua. Do you know how much Tua's going to play? I mean, this is kind of a rookie year 2.0 for him. So that's of interest. That's the, like you said, that's the 10 a.m. That's the only 10 a.m. Pacific game. Then a 1 o'clock Denver at Minnesota. I wonder if we'll look back on this season, John, and think that we dismissed Denver a little bit too much coming into the year. Not as a playoff team, not as even a team that's interesting. I think we talked last year at the end of the year. They were one of the least interesting teams to watch in the league last year. I liked watching Jacksonville more. However, their defense is going to be pretty good. So they could just affect a lot of people over the course of the year because they might just be able to beat enough teams. Not that they're going to win 10 games. But Denver could just make things messy in their division and just in general with their schedule.
I typed in Tua, first thing that comes up. They must be having joint practices today against the Dolphins. Jalen Johnson picked off Tua in the end zone. That's just the first tweet that comes up when you search his name. The other thing I saw back to Miami.
Maybe Bears need Jalen Johnson to be good.
They love him. He is good. The Denver thing, like, they do have a quarterback, you know, competition. I do think Drew Locke's going to win it. To the Miami thing, did you see Fitzpatrick did like a Q&A with Robert Mays, who writes for The Athletic? His quote last year when they told him, like, that week between the bye week after the Niners game, he thought Flores was fucking with him, and he laughed. He's like, I honestly thought it was a joke. The second thing I see when I typed in Tua was Chan Gailey, who I think got fired after last season, and his first public comments, he said to several reporters that he was in total shock that his superiors promoted Tua. Because it was Fitzpatrick. So are there going to be people in this? You're right. I don't think we're talking about Tua as much. Just because Fields, Lance, we have this whole new crew of guys. It's like Herbert's become a star. But like, they're going to, if it's ugly, he will get talked about a lot.
Yeah. Especially if, you know, Washington, I think Washington, it's, they might take a step back because now they're playing like a better schedule than they played last year. But what if, you know, Miami is all of a sudden, I think their timeline got accelerated because they were almost a playoff team last year. What if Fitzpatrick's better than Tua again this year? And you go, well, for the big picture, you had to go to Tua. I get it. But did you leave wins on the table this year? Are they going to end up with Deshaun in 2022 somehow? You know.
Well, what are the chances that Tua Tagovailoa
Tongo Vailoa
is as good as Ryan Fitzpatrick was in 2020. Seems slim to none.
Yeah, what were Fitzpatrick's numbers by the end of the year? Wasn't part of that Robert Mays article like Fitzpatrick's not the guy he was 5 years ago, he's better?
I didn't read it, to be honest with you, beside the quote, but that quote was good. I thought it was a joke.
That's what Ron Burgundy said when they brought in what's her name, I think.
But we have seen Christina maybe Applegate. Like different substance, or not substance, like we have seen similar substance, just different quotes and stuff.
Yeah.
We've seen this happen with athletes before, where the start gets weird, you kind of replace someone that you probably shouldn't have, in just all sports. And the train never really gets on the tracks, and then ultimately if you're good enough, it doesn't fucking matter. It just kind of feels like, is this guy good enough? That's my thing. Like, yeah. Is this guy good enough?
It's not Fitz related. It's him related. Although, do you know what Fitzpatrick, you want to guess Fitzpatrick's touchdowns interceptions last year?
Yeah, probably it's not going to be as good.
13-8.
Yeah, it's not going to be as good.
Next up, game-wise on Saturday. Where did I lost my schedule here? I guess I can look
Cleveland,
right here.
Cleveland-Jacksonville.
Cleveland-Jacksonville? Yes, please.
Yeah, I'll peek.
I mean, Urban is on the sidelines, John.
Yeah, Trent Baalke's his general manager.
Trent Baalke's team. New Orleans-Baltimore? Yeah. They're pretending that there's a quarterback competition in New Orleans. There's not, right? Because you actually need one of your quarterbacks to be like a receiver because you don't have Michael Thomas. It's weird.
Saw they had a healthy sit-down, though, those two, Peyton and Michael.
Okay, but he's hurt, so who cares?
Well, I know, but just, like, getting back on the same page, like, you know, it was like, is they going to trade him? And then, like, dead cap was, like, $58 million. You're like, yeah, it's not really an option. This isn't like you're kind of stuck. There is no – once you give a guy $65 million guaranteed, you can't just trade him year two. Like, that's part of the way the NFL works, right?
You have to work things out.
In basketball or baseball, when the contracts are just even every year and you don't have to give them all this upfront money, you can trade them at any moment. In football – like Cousins is a good example. Once you extend or give a huge contract, he's on your team, right? Or unless you just wave the white flag the Eagles, and that's an all-timer, right?
Wentz.
Yeah, that's just it doesn't behoove the Saints to trade Michael Thomas.
No Rashad Bateman for the Ravens. That's a disappointment. Their first-round receiver getting groin surgery. They're hoping he'll be ready week one. Raiders, Monday Night Football.
We hopped on, like, a Roto-World headline that said more realistic's like week four. Mm. So, to me, when you're already writing week four, are we talking like week eight for this guy?
groin surgery.
Yeah.
New York, John. Jets and Giants. Give me high fives. Nets and Knicks, I think, was the line. Anyway, Zach Wilson, baby. What more do you need to say?
Yeah, Daniel Jones. I saw Instagram meme account, and it was like they had an open scrimmage, I think, at MetLife, the Giants, either within the last 3 or 4 days, and just a guy Instagrammed it, like a fan, and was like, Daniel Jones in midseason form. Guy, he throws, the linebacker dropped it, but like they're running routes, linebacker's just in the middle of the field dropping back. Daniel Jones throws it right to the linebacker. And it's like, oh, my, the linebacker dropped it, but oh my God. That could be bad, guy. Bad.
Well, Saquon's going to get hurt at some point, unfortunately, and it's going to be a mess.
But he might not. I mean, he was never really hurt till last year. But he's coming back up to torn ACL. Kenny Wiggins, starting.
Is there a dog in the house? Hoo, 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 hoo. Brandon on YouTube says, can we do a segment where John tries to say groin after a few Tito's and sodas?
No. I don't see how you say it so seamlessly. And
I don't know.
Groin.
Huh?
I just said it like you.
No, you've started saying it faster. You've adapted. Say it again.
Groin.
Can you say it slowly?
Groin.
No, can you say it slowly?
Groin.
Yeah. Did you do speech therapy with that word?
It's just oin. Instead of going as growing.
Groin.
It's
yeah.
Groin. Groin.
Oh, yeah. DeAnthony says no Elijah Moore for the Jets. Was looking forward to seeing him play. He's out. What was it? I think it was something semi-minor, but the reports had been quad. He'd been good. To your point, Bengals-Bucks, John, you were saying, you know, it might take Joe Burrow a while, and then I saw somebody else point out, you know, let's not forget it wasn't just his ACL, it was his ACL, his MCL, and his PCL. that he's coming
back.
Didn't
it happen like November 1st, too? It's not like it happened in August.
Texans, Packers, that's the leader in the clubhouse for game. Well, Jordan Love.
Jordan Love's playing the whole thing. Yeah, okay. Whole first half.
Seattle and Vegas. Somebody mentioned here on the YouTube chat, did you guys see that Breer said that Morig, the Raiders, the next in line of Raiders rookie safeties, is actually looked good. Maybe we finally drafted someone drafted well. So maybe that's what to watch for. Mariota.
Best case scenario, what if Jordan Love looks pretty awesome? Like, he could become the next, like, kind of what Jimmy G was, you know, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Just a guy that, like, other people, you just need a quarterback, and you don't want to trade, like, 3 first-rounders. Could you get him for, like, a 2 and a 3? Again, he'd have to be good.
If you're only getting a 2 and a... If he's good, you're...
We have no clue what he even looks like.
If he's good, then you're keeping him and you're trading. You know, then the Rodgers thing is a thing.
You got options if he's good.
Los Angeles, John. No Stafford. Give me some Tutu Atwell. Is he playing?
It's a good question. Well, yeah, he probably will, because I saw DeSean Jackson's had a really good camp, so I would imagine he's not going to play in the preseason, so Tutu Atwell probably starts.
Brandon Staley, can he lock down Sean McVay's offense?
I saw Aaron Donald was going up against someone. They were doing joint practices, those two teams, and PFF was like, blocking Aaron Donald. It was Aaron Donald just shoving him back. And, you know, like, multiple NFL offensive linemen were like, do you guys even know what you're talking about? Like, this was like 3 or 4 days ago. But NFL linemen get very offended when you try to act like something is one way and it's clearly the other way. But, like, the casual fan would think one way. But, like, if you're in the nitty-gritty of an offensive line room, you know that's not the right way.
And you better damn well not use pancake, misuse pancake, right? You're going to say somebody got pancaked or didn't pancake. I guess that's something an offensive lineman would like. A D lineman would get mad about that. Sunday, Carolina, Indianapolis. I mean, Indy's got to figure out what they got with their quarterback situation here. So we'll get some Ellinger, some Eason. Neither's ready, according to me. Sam Darnold.
I'm in.
How much of that are we getting?
I mean, probably a couple series.
Yeah. So all in.
How many actual snaps do you think you're going to watch of all these games?
I think I'll watch a fair amount. I'll watch 30 of Trey Lance's snaps. I know that.
Yeah.
The beauty of this is I may not see, this is going to be a lot of, it's a three. All I got to do is watch like 3 minutes of Mac Jones highlights and I'll get caught up. You know, there'll be some of that.
That's what's going to happen. Let's be real.
This is the best time to just catch 3 minutes of highlights and
call
it a day.
That's the way to do it. Yes.
By the way, everybody, get in the Haberman and Middlecoff mailbag. Leave us a question. Go to iTunes. We hit 1,000 iTunes reviews. Thank you to everybody that has reviewed already. 5 stars. Leave us a question. Tell us your favorite bar to hang at. You can do that on iTunes. You can also, John, do that on Facebook.
Facebook. Like the Facebook page, Haberman Middlecoff. Search it. Like it. Do it now. Get on it, people.
Nicholas Decker on YouTube says, do you know how to watch all these games that aren't on national TV? Are they on Sunday Ticket? Could not tell you about Sunday Ticket. Are they on? They're not on Sunday Ticket. Are they on the local games? Can you watch live on Game Pass?
Well, NFL Network will always have one of them on, right, and you can watch the other ones live on Game Pass. So if you have $99.99, trust me, we know they charge you even when you haven't even told them to charge you, but they're ready, in which none of us complain once we're charged. You can watch all the preseason games like on your iPad, maybe smart TVs. You could probably download the app and watch it on your TV. But I'll just use my iPad and then just watch like Mac Jones throw a pick.
Watch every out-of-market preseason game live on the NFL app and NFL.com.
You can sign in to get Game Pass on NFL.com.
So watch all the preseason game lives. Okay.
It is user-friendly for preseason, for sure.
Right. It crashes every 4 minutes once the season starts, but and takes you back to the beginning of the game, and, you know. But that's,
you know, it's not like they don't have enough money to pay an IT guy, but, you know.
No, we'll work on it. Don't worry about it. That's fine.
Yeah.
Keep me on the app longer. All about retention.
I'll tell you who spends 0 seconds on the app. That's Roger. Like, you think Roger's watching games back? No. Would you?
Does Roger sit at home and watch full NFL games?
Well, do you think he watches football, like, just on a Sunday if he's at his house? I'm not saying it wouldn't be on his TV, but is he like, does he have a team? If he has a team from his youth, maybe one of the New York teams. I would imagine once you start making 50 from the entity, you'd become pretty numb to teams.
Yeah, it's less about, right. You know what I always say, John, and it came to fruition last year. It doesn't matter who wins to Roger. It just matters the games get played. Yeah. It doesn't matter who wins the Super Bowl to him. It just matters that the game got played and the ads ran.
I could see him watching, if you or I were in a seat, would be like certain advertisers, right, when they're getting their commercials. Maybe a ref that he's been on his ass to make better calls. He's watching for, like, Jim calling the Bills game. I could just see him watching probably things that you most humans wouldn't even think of, right? If a coach that, you know, he'd been told a couple times to, like, you can't wear that sweatshirt anymore.
I bet he's getting texts from owners all Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably a little more hectic than we're making it out to be.
Gammon says, as a fellow bald man, what razor and shaving cream do you use?
I use the Orange Edge shaving cream, and I use a 5-blade.
Camelot says, because of the buildup, do you think the media will crucify the kid if he doesn't come out the gate and perform well? Will they take into consideration that he's going to play with the twos, maybe against one, speaking of Trey Lance? No, the media will not kill Trey Lance.
Yeah.
They have watched him in practice. He looks good.
Yeah.
Look, if Trey Lance doesn't start week one, that's a story too. So it's a win-win at this point.
Yeah.
All right.
I will not complain.
Mailbag's coming up next. Keep sending us your photos of you having a good time on Tito's Thursday or Tito's Friday or Tito's Saturday or Tito's Sunday or Tito's Monday or Tito's Tuesday. That one works. Or Tito's Wednesday. Keep them coming, everybody. We really appreciate that. We love it. Thank you for the support. Tell your friends, share it, and holler at us. Anything else?
Whoop, 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 whoop. See you guys this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's say that one more time. Saturday night, halftime. We normally record our podcast on Sundays. This week, we will record our podcast live on YouTube Saturday night. You good saying halftime or when Trey Lance?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say shoot for halftime unless he runs back out. Who knows? I was just thinking the mailbag, we usually post the mailbag Saturday morning, but if we're going to put out a podcast Saturday night, Sunday morning, does it make more sense to just go mailbag like YouTube only?
Post it on YouTube? I don't know. I just say the internet, John. You throw as many things up and let everybody consume what they want to consume.
Yeah, you can do whatever we want.
You guys are watching a meeting of the heads of department of Haberman and Middlecoff Inc. right now as we debate. Everybody here, can we take roll? Middlecoff, present. Haberman, present. All right, this meeting is now in session.
Those are the minutes.
Those are the minutes. All right. Thanks for hanging with us, everybody. Later.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.